The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majestic of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of the God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground spring of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp. The grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel in it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall the ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
You know, I don't get a chance very often to sit down front with y'all, but it was a joyous experience. Watching the faces of the singers and the ringers and hearing the music, and especially when our confirmation class did so beautifully in lighting the candles. Not that the other families haven't. It's just kind of fun to see the youth participate in worship. And I am glad for that, for I feel like we need a little joy in our lives. Speaking of joy, and before I forget, tonight, if you want some additional joy, 6 o'clock, down at Central UMC, right? I'm looking at it's the Messiah. Come on down. It should be a joyous experience for the Christmas season. As I said earlier, try though I might to continue with joy, I was overcome by the Spirit and wound up settling with Matthew's Gospel from chapter 11. It's not the birth of Jesus yet. We're still waiting. And in fact, that's what this particular passage asks. Are you the one? Listen now for God's word to God's people. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, Jesus, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. As the disciples went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So yes, this is Joy Sunday, the day when our hearts really start turning towards Bethlehem. But in all this chilly, misty dreariness, I don't exactly feel joyous. Yes, the earth's tilting back and forth on its axis, as we all know, and right now our hemisphere is currently tilted away from the sun. That scientific fact makes a big difference in how we see the world around us, or not see it, as the case may be. But it doesn't make it much easier for us to feel bright and cheerful when each day's light grows shorter and dimmer. Did you know that today there'll be about 10 hours and 21 minutes of daylight? If we didn't know that this was just the natural cycle of planetary motion, and that eventually the sun will get brighter and the days will grow longer, well, we'd probably think we'd been exiled from our star's brilliant warmth to a rainy, bleak wilderness. And that would have been done, that exile would have occurred because of some crazed descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, the man who drove the ancient Hebrews into Babylon, the Hebrews that Isaiah was writing to and that Lou read about today. Maybe, though, we'd feel like John the Baptist may have felt when Herod imprisoned him in a windowless cell behind barbed wire. Can you imagine what it's like to eat, to sleep, to breathe as an incarcerated criminal, cut off from family and friends? A member of my Indiana congregation was confined for over a year. She'd sold some of her prescription painkillers to an undercover cop, and the judge pronounced a pretty stiff sentence on her. Then the state prison system sent her, as they do most inmates, to a facility far, far away from her hometown, almost 4 hours away. And her family had just one car between three adults, all of whom worked on different shifts, of course. And, of course, too, visiting hours at the prison were extremely limited. So it was pretty much a nightmare for them to get over to see her. And phone calls with her were just as difficult. Inmates could only receive calls at certain times of the day. And if you miss the window, you have to wait. And by the way, she had to pay a fee to receive her calls also. She also had to pay for her clothing and her toiletries while she was there. We could hardly send her a Bible to read, much less a soft and cuddly t-shirt to remind her that she was loved. For all intents and purposes, this young woman had been exiled from those who loved her, cut off from those she knew and cared about. Now, I'm really not defending her. She acted in a way that could cause other people terrible consequences, even death. But being in prison is a dark, depressing, joyous way to live. And the young woman doubted that she'd ever see her 3-year-old daughter again. And that's where we find John today, in prison. But he wasn't there for a crime that could, would, or did damage the lives of others. In Matthew chapter 14, we hear that John's crime was that he had spoken truth to power. He dared to tell Herod that it was against the law for the man to be married to Herodias. Herod, Herodias? They were half sister and half brother. Now, the practice of marrying within the family wasn't unheard of in the high and mighty families of the Roman Empire. But remember, Herod wasn't Roman. He was born a Jew and should have been following the Jewish laws. Still, what kind of ruler retaliates against words like that by throwing someone into prison? So John was behind bars, cut off from family and friends. Not that he hadn't removed himself already from his hometown. He had, after all, been living in the wilderness, fulfilling God's call to prophecy. Somehow I suspect that having lived in the freedom that only wilderness places like the desert truly offer made living the exile of incarceration even more spirit-killing than it does for those of us who live in far more populated places. Even when December's seasonal darkness makes us feel cut off from one another, it's not nearly like being exiled. And regardless of the reason behind exile, feeling cut off from those we love is depressing. And those who suffer from depression know the chemical imbalance tricks that the mind can play. They cause people to have terrible thoughts, fears, even doubts. And though I cannot prove my thesis, I wonder if John may have been experiencing depression-related doubt. Now, Matthew shows us a man who goes from joyous shouts, inviting all who would hear him to prepare the way of the Lord, to one who is doubting and asking questions from the dungeon of life. That's a pretty dramatic shift. Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another? John's whole life was founded on the belief that his cousin was the one, that Jesus was the Messiah. And yet Jesus hadn't turned Herod's heart back to God's laws, nor was he conquering the Roman guard that was stationed in Jerusalem. And wasn't that what a savior was to do, conquer the overlords? John no longer felt joy. Being cut off in the darkness of prison had certainly brought up tough questions. Now, any number of folks around Muskingum County are feeling imprisoned by the darkness, be it depression or poverty, wanting a safe place to sleep, wanting warmer relationships to replace the coldness of separation, wanting nourishing meals and jobs that allow simple human dignity. So I wonder, can they trust the promises that Jesus made? Is he the one who was to come? Who'd soften life's hardships? Or should they too look for another one in which to hope? We don't face that in this congregation very much. But we do have our own demons, our own questions. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night? You know, that's when the hamsters in my head, you do have hamsters in your head, right? They decide to run on their little wheel, and they go just around and around in circles and keep you awake all night, worrying, filled by doubt, feeling cut off. Anymore, we seem to be living in a season of darkness as individuals and as a society. And it isn't a season that necessarily is connected to the magnetic tilt of the earth. It's hard to feel joy when darkness, the darkness of evil, truly threatens to take over the world. And this reading from Matthew leaves but a very slim crack through which light can shine. Now, that Isaiah passage that Lou just read, you know, the one that offered a joy-filled vision of the desert burning and bursting into full bloom, It actually follows a chapter that's all about the Lord's vengeance against the nation of Edom. That chapter reads in part, "Edom's streams will be turned into pitch, its dust into sulfur, and its land will become burning pitch. Thorns will grow up in its palaces, weeds and brambles in its fortresses. It will be a dwelling for jackals." Talk about dark and dismal. But what a vision Isaiah sent to God's children who were exiled in Babylon, who needed strong spiritual medicine to counteract the depression that those words might have caused. He reminded them in this reading today that God wants them to know they hadn't been deserted in a faraway land. Remember what God said? "Then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf will be cleared. Waters will spring up in the desert and streams in the wilderness." And in the same way, Jesus actually offers John some light-filled words. He said, "Those who were blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. The poor have good news proclaimed to them." Now, Jesus never really said, "I am the one you seek." But he reminds John of another prophecy from Isaiah as a way of speaking the truth, of bringing light-filled joy to John's heart. And then Jesus turned to those nearby and commended John's ministry to them, saying, "No one who has ever been born is greater than John the Baptist." John's doubt was not judged harshly. In fact, Jesus reassured him with wonderful words, words that can comfort anyone who struggles against the darkness and doubts the joys of life. And that includes you and me. Following God's call is never easy. It is especially hard for those who are thrown into prison for speaking truth to power. It's then that the world can drag us into a mentally dark dungeon. We can feel the heavy darkness and joyless doubt in any season of the year, my friends, any season of the year and any season of our lives. But in Christ, we are offered joy. And we feel the light of his joy when we seek to offer words of kindness and compassion to those who are blind or deaf, imprisoned or ill. And we especially feel it when we act in ways that share God's good news with the poor. And in so doing, we are sharing the joyous love of the one who is the light of the world. And isn't that what Jesus is saying to John? "Trust in me, for I am following God's call in these ways," he said. Yeah, it's easy to jump on that little hamster wheel when we feel cut off from God, as we pace in a prison of darkness. But eventually the earth's tilt will bring us towards brighter days, and through it all, God will be near, calling us home. Isaiah foretold it. He said, "A highway will be there. It will be called the Holy Way. The Lord's ransomed ones will return and enter Zion with singing and everlasting joy upon their heads. Happiness and joy will overwhelm them. Grief and groaning will flee away." it be so. Hallelujah. Will you please rise with me as you are able and say the words that are not printed, they are on page 14 of the hymnal, the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the community of faith, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting forevermore. Oh no, we're singing.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. We present to you, O God, our gifts. May they be used to make a difference in the lives of people where hope is scarce. May our gifts be a reminder to those who receive them of your love. We pray this through Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
How about that? Yeah. It's been a long week. And we are getting closer and closer to Christmas. And I know there are some joys out there, and I know there are some concerns, and I hope that you will share them with all of us. I'm listening, as we all are. Yes.
My name is Linda Wolf, is having heart valve replacement Tuesday.
Her neighbor Linda is having heart valve replacement on Tuesday. That's both a concern and a joy, because they're able to do that kind of thing now that they couldn't do years ago. And so that, I hope and pray that she will come through with flying colors. And Dawn is having a stress test on Tuesday. That's a concern. So we will keep Dawn in prayer. Are there others? Well, there have been, there is some news from the Hansons. And Russell has been released from the hospital. He had been there for a while, but he is released to hospice care. So keep the Hansons in prayer, please. And how is Dwayne doing? How is Dwayne? Oh, you are here. I'm looking at your mom. Okay. Indeed. Rejoice today with your heart, your soul, your voice. Christ was born to save us, to save us from the darkness of the greatest separation that we can imagine, being separated by death from God. We have a lot to be thankful for he came to bring sight to the blind and to heal the lame so they might walk and to free those of us who are imprisoned in darkness in our hearts. Good Christian friends, rejoice and share that joy with all you meet this week. This week, go out into the world to rejoice and go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit and who draws us together goes with each and every one of you. Amen.